Well, good morning, or good afternoon, or good evening. We've got family that are literally all over the world, and at this time, the clock may not unite us, but our Lord Jesus Christ does. Amen? We've gathered together, as Pastor Charlie just said, to worship the Lord. And I have to tell you, there are days like today where I'm just in awe. The worship set that we just did literally has come right out of today's sermon. Literally, one of the songs was almost in the sermon, and I cut it at the last moment. So I tell you that to prepare you. You are in the presence of the living God. Now, let me ask you a question as we begin. Knowing this already, when was the last time that you said, "Hey, why bother? Why bother?" Or when was a time perhaps in your life when you said that in a pivotal way? I can tell you for me personally, it was right before I got saved. Now, I had been in church a long time, since I was about 14. But I didn't come to Christ till I was 35. And it came on the heels of me asking, why bother? I'm doing all that I'm doing. I'm chasing after the American dream. I'm going after the world. And frankly, I got it. I had it. And I realized there was still a huge hole in my heart. And I was plagued by this question. It haunted me. Why bother? Why continue to do what I'm doing if I've already come to realize at 35, literally on my birthday, that this is not it? Have you ever asked yourself, why bother? Or maybe you're on the other side of the coin and you've been in church a long time and you're asking yourself, why bother? Why do I keep doing all this church stuff? My brother Rob, Elder Rob, I've literally seen him confront people who were going through the motions and literally, visibly hating it. And he said, listen, if you don't love Christ, if you don't want to be the family of God, why bother? Why are you doing all this? You seem miserable. Or maybe you're one that would say, after what we learned in the last sermon, that we're called to be a blessing by being all that God has called and created us to be. Maybe you'd say, listen, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian, but why bother going through all this when we already know that Jesus is coming back? I know I'm going to heaven. Some that we might identify as the frozen chosen. Those who say, why bother? God's already got it all worked out. Well, if you've ever asked that question, I want you to know you're in the right place, right here, right now, because we're going to answer that question. And you're going to see, that's the title of the sermon, Why Bother? You're going to see from God's word, not mine, not my opinion, not of this church, not of this denomination, but I pray today you're going to be changed when you see and hear the living God show you and me, Christian. If you are a biblical Christian, you're going to know that you know that you know before we're done today why you get to be and why you should want to be the blessing that is the family of God. Would you pray with me? Oh Lord, you know where we're going. You know everything. Please, Lord, help us now to know what we need to know so that we will grow and go. May we know, grow, and go all to your glory here today. I pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Now, some of you haven't been with us, so let me give you the context of where we are and where we're going. We've been in a sermon series called No Matter What, and we're walking through the letter, the book of 1 Peter. This is week number 7, and those of you that have been with us, you're going to be amazed. We're going to cover 3 verses today. In the first 6 verses, we've made our way into the very tip of verse number 3 in chapter 1. Today, we're going to continue on seeing the rich, deep theological treasure that is here for us in a way that I pray will change your life eternally. Now, we've already seen in the opening words, for example, Peter an apostle of Jesus Christ. We've seen the miracle work of God that turns his people into his missionaries, and we've acknowledged only Jesus the Messiah can do that. We've looked at what can be shown from the diversity of the land and the recipients of the letter. We've seen the very Trinity of God already, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We've seen the power and the blessing and privilege of intercessory prayer, where Peter has already shown us that he's praying for the family of God, that God's grace and mercy would be multiplied to us. And last week, as we began the opening of verse 3, we saw the call and the privilege. Blessed be the God. And we noted per Psalm 103, 104, 105, that you and I, Christian, true Christians, we get to be the blessing in our being that God has called and created us to be. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. We sang it this morning. Well, last week, in understanding that beginning of verse 3, we noted that here's the what. We're to be a blessing. And we began to dig into the how. Well, today we're going to look at the why. And I pray that if you're a Christian, if you're a true biblical Christian, you'll know forevermore why we want to be a blessing to God. And if you're here today and you don't have an eternal, saving relationship with Jesus the Christ, with the God of the Bible, I pray that you will see some of what is here for us in such a way that God won't just knock at the door of your heart, but that he'll draw you to himself miraculously. And that today may be the day where reservations in hell get canceled and new inheritances and homes in heaven are prepared. Now, if you think that sounds a little flowery, you come with me to God's word. I'm not sharing anything that doesn't come directly from the word of God. Now, by way of preview, as we look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3, 4, and 5, and if you have your Bibles, I encourage you to come with me. I pray that you do have your Bibles, and you walk with me through the scriptures. What we're going to see are three primary divisions in this scripture that all point to us being this blessing. We're going to see an exaltation, we're going to see an explanation, and we're going to see the expectation that helps us to understand the explanation. Exaltation, explanation, and the expectation. All from God and his word. Now, the timeless truth, the big takeaway, if you hear nothing else, if you remember nothing else, you remember this, and you can take this back at another time to the passage, to the sermon. But know this, Christian. You're not just called to be a blessing, you get to be a blessing. The timeless truth for today is that nothing compares or even comes close to being a biblical Christian. Nothing compares or even comes close to the blessing that we have in the being of biblical Christians, to be the family of God. There is nothing in existence that even comes close to comparing to the blessing we have in being biblical Christians. Now, some of you may say, well, that's your opinion. Come walk with me through the word of God. Hear the will of God. See the ways of God. And you tell me at the end if you don't agree. Nothing compares or comes close to the blessing of being a biblical Christian. Don't take my word for it. Let's go to God's word. Come with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3, 4, and 5. And listen carefully to the inflection in my voice. We're going to have a very simple sermon today. We're going to literally walk through the word of God and let the word of God wash over us in a way that I pray will bless you like perhaps never before. It's God's word that says, 1 Peter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, Christ, Messiah, exclamation mark. According to his great, great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Verse 4. To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, and kept in heaven for you. Verse 5. You who, by God's power, are being guarded through faith for a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Say, Pastor Jeff, that had to be 2 or 3 minutes. It's almost like you're stammering or stuttering. All we're going to do is walk through the Word today. And I pray, let the Word walk through us and change us eternal. Why bother? Why bother being this blessing? Why bother being the blessing to God by being a blessing to the world as you live out the blessing you've received from God for all of eternity? Why bother? Well, let's first determine whether or not we should hear the exaltation of the glorification of our God. Again, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, exclamation mark. First point, wherever you see an exclamation mark in the Bible, stop. Let it sink in. The God of all creation is speaking emphatically to you and me. If he's using an exclamation mark, he wants you and me to know this is serious. I mean it. This is coming with passion. So we get to and should want to bless the Lord, oh, our souls and all that is within us. This is God. This is Father, Lord, Christ. Now, I tell you that because motive matters. If you're doing this because it's out of obligation, something's wrong. Oh, we're obligated, but this should have a want to. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. I want to love you, Lord. You are God. You are Father. You are Lord. You are Christ. And you're talking to me. Wow. Wow. No, get ready, because if you say yes and you want this, you better be ready for a war. Because let me tell you, the Bible is very clear and gives us example after example after example. If you want to be a blessing to God and to the world, if you want to be who he's called and created you to be, he's told us in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 20, we need to put on his armor because we're going to war. And let me just tell you 5 of Satan's most sin-filled direct weapons that you're going to come up against. If you say, yes, I want to exalt the Lord, I want to be that blessing, you're going to deal with your own pride, perhaps first and foremost, and you're going to deal with pride's offspring, your selfish self-absorption. Me, me, me is going to get in the way of Lord Jesus Christ. You're also going to deal with pain. Satan uses pain as one of the weapons to keep us from blessing God. And not just pain, but it too has twin offspring. The offspring of pain that get in the way, anger and fear. Pain leads to anger and fear that get in the way. This is going to surprise some of you, but you're also going to have to deal with the dragon that is pleasure. Pleasure is going to get in the way of your devotion to being a blessing to God. You say, pleasure? Yeah, it has an offspring. It's called idolatry. Those things that you love as much or more, the pleasure that gets in the way. There's poisons as well you have to deal with, and all of their multiple flavors that are designed to taste good while they kill you. They're all around you and me. Not to mention perversion. Perversion that takes some seeds of truth and grows weeds of lies and deception. We live in this context. So if you say yes to the exaltation, be ready and know that your motive matters. If you say, well, I'm willing to, I don't really want to, but I'm willing to, know that the distance between will and want is at least the distance of the heart. And if your willing to is not matched up with a want to, there's something wrong. Friend, I pray that you'll see that to be the exaltation, it's to live out adoration, a love for the Lord, inspiration, that which draws others to a greater Christ likeness. It's a celebration. We get to. That's a huge part of our witness. It's a dedication, no matter what. He's worth it, no matter what. And it's living out the exhortation that is to be a walking warning that is constantly wrapped in encouragement. This is us, friends. This is us. We get to be the living exaltation of Christ. Just imagine what would happen if those of us that claim Christ and are the church, truly are, if we would live out what it is to be totally, truthfully His, how the world could be impacted. Just imagine if those of us that say, yes, I am a Christ follower, lived following Christ. If that which was fearfully and wonderfully made would worshiply and completely, totally say, yes, Lord, how might your personal life be different? How would the concentric circles around you be impacted? I want you to think about that. This question of why bother? I've done a almost 2-hour long added training, an advanced individual training session that was entitled Why. Let me show you just a 3-minute clip that was in that introduction. And I pray help you and me to see why we want to be the living exaltations of Christ. Watch this and then we'll come right back.
You awake daily, unaware of the miracle of you. Oxygen, carbon, hydrogen, 3 elements, those found in dust, together form cells, muscles, bones, and blood, united in an effort to make you, you. Made of approximately 7 octillion atoms, your body houses what cannot be counted or measured. You are more than atoms. You're a soul, a mind, a spirit. You live, build friendships, make music, learn, judge beauty, make a decision, cry. Yet you, understanding that you have been bought with a price and no longer belong to yourself, you wonder what it means to be totally His. All of you, led by God's Spirit, obey the greatest of all God's laws, love. Love God and love others with all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. What if you, because of God's love and His Spirit in you, all your mind's ability to create and conceive, imagined a new world, a world as envisioned by the mind of God, and gave yourself to showing the world that vision? While others seek comfort, you desire more. With all your nerve impulses alerting you to hot, cold, rough, and smooth, a calming silence or the chaotic surge of morning traffic, you find contentment in knowing you are His. While others seek security, you, with all 60,000 miles of blood vessels, enough to wrap around the world 2.5 times, wrap your arms around the unloved. You give up the safety of home or financial security in exchange for loving the marginalized and the broken, that they might know the salvation of which Jesus spoke. While others, belonging only to themselves, pursue rest, you, knowing all your strength is from Him, clench your muscles with divine determination to finish the race He has set before you. Instead, you apply yourself to one of the 6,000 languages spoken on earth. You apply your curiosity to advancing the gospel so that the message of God's Son is made known to every language and every people. What if you are not the only one who leaves behind self-preoccupation? Imagine your local church occupying itself with being fully God's too. While you begin to collectively understand that you are not your own, you find that your souls, your minds, and your strength work in unity. All of you in rhythm with His Holy Spirit, souls enjoying, minds imagining, strength surging, all of us, the entire church, totally His.
So what if that were you? What if that were us together? This is the exaltation. We get to be the blessing. Listen to how Jesus put it in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14, 15, and 16. And mind you, this passage comes immediately after Jesus just gave 9 blessing formulas. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who are going to mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are those who are the peacemakers. You know the passage. Bless those that are going to be persecuted. It's going to come at a cost. Bless those who will say, Jesus continues, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light in all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that, here's the purpose, so that they may see your good works and then give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Why bother? For the glory of God. Because we get to. Because it's not a bother, it's a blessing. Nothing compares to being a biblical Christian. We get this incredible blessing. Let me show it to you again. Not the words of Jesus, but the words of God. I mean, not the words of Jeff, but the words of God. Here it is as we continue in verse 3. Here's the explanation of our devotion. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again. Again, let me just walk you through the Word of God. He caused us. Everything good in your life was caused by your Creator and your Christ. Now, you want to know why we get to be? He caused our blessing. He is our blessing. He caused us to be born again, to be born again. He caused that. The one to whom we're charged to be a blessing, He blessed us and caused us to be born again. If you're born again, it's because of the cause of Christ. You did not do it. He did. You and I received it. And He caused us to be born again by His great mercy. If you've not thought about how much mercy you've received, Christian, I encourage you, do it here. Do it here. In fact, when we finish with the message, I've added an extended time of worship, 15 minutes, three songs, to allow you to just sit and soak and contemplate. Listen to the words. But they're these words. They reflect the word of God. If you're a Christian, you have received God's great mercy. Now think about that. If God gives mercy, it's great, because what you've offended is him. Who you've offended is him. And if you've been forgiven, if you've not been charged, think about every wrong you've ever done. Think about every mistake you've ever made. Think about every time where evil has taken over in you. If you're a Christian, you've received the great mercy of God. And it didn't get held against you. That should lead to a want to be a blessing forevermore. And we're just getting started. We're just scratching the tip of the iceberg here. See, you weren't just caused to be born again, caused to a living hope, not a dead hope, right? I could hope to hit the lottery tomorrow. Good luck with that. Hope can go anywhere and it can be rooted in anything, but it's dead if it's not in Christ. And every hope that is in Christ is alive because he's alive. You say, what do you mean by living hope? Christ is our hope and he's alive. Your living hope is the hope that is in the living God. And that hope, you know, it's been said that you can go a long way on a lot of things, but you take somebody's hope away, they're dead. You take hope away and you won't see life in the eyes. Hope, living hope, has been given to you, Christian. Why bother? Because you've been gifted living hope. And where did it come from? Came through the resurrection. The resurrection. See, Christ bought it. Your hope, your inheritance, it was blood bought and it was proven through the resurrection. It was finished on the cross. It's blood bought. It's proven through the resurrection. Whose resurrection? Resurrection of Jesus Christ, Jesus Messiah. Not through anybody else, any organization. It's not through any other form, but Jesus the Christ. And his resurrection, by the way, it's from the dead. So if you ever hear somebody say, well, I don't believe in the resurrection of Christ. I don't think he died. Well, the word of God says he was resurrected from the dead. He didn't swoon. He didn't pass out. He didn't somehow kind of get whisked away. He rose from the dead. When he walked out of the tomb, it proved everything for all times. You and I, Christian, we get to live in the confidence of this proof. It was truly bought and proven through Christ, this living hope. And you say, wow, that's pretty good. Well, that's just getting started. You didn't just get a living hope. Ready? Next passage. You also received an inheritance. An inheritance. Now, what's an inheritance? An inheritance is something that's real now for later. It's not a hope. It's not a wish. We've got hope. We've got living hope. But this is different. This is an inheritance. If you're a believer, why bother? Because you have an inheritance. You see, we tell people a lot around here, hope happens here. We have living hope because we have the living God. I literally have the sign on the door here in Vermont. Hope happens here because the living hope is here. His name is Jesus. And that's just getting started, because here we see, if you're a Christian, God caused, through the cross and resurrection of Jesus the Christ, for you to have an inheritance, something real today for your future down the road. And as though God wanted you and me to think about this even more, he says, some of you might not really get this. It might not sink in. So let me give you three perspectives on your inheritance. That inheritance, it's imperishable. That means it's indestructible, impenetrable, incorruptible. You can't hurt this inheritance. Nobody can. That's the promise from God. It's also undefiled. It's pure, untainted, unblemished, unstained. It's perfect. Perfect. Your inheritance. Why bother? You have this inheritance. Take a look at it. It's also unfading. That means it's persistent. It doesn't stop. It's perpetual. It's constantly ongoing. It's permanent. It's forever your inheritance. You want to know why we are going to be this blessing, why we want to be? It's not just that we have a living hope here, but we have an inheritance and a home in heaven. You, Christian, if you're truly His, you have a home and an inheritance in heaven. If that doesn't get you up in the morning, something's wrong. If that doesn't get you to drive through the swamp, something's wrong. This is who we get to be by the grace of God. Now, let me take you to the third point. And as we're going through this explanation, watch now how it shifts to the expectation that undergirds the explanation and the exaltation. Because it's even more. This inheritance, which is future forward, remember, it's real now. It's real now. But let's look at going forward. What's your expectation, church? What's your expectation, Christian? Well, he goes on and he says, next, in regards to our inheritance, it's not just imperishable, undefiled, unfading. It's also, ready? Kept. Kept. Your perfect inheritance, Christian, is kept. Now, let me tell you, if I had a nickel for every promise that went unkept, if I had a nickel for every person who promised me something and didn't keep their promise, I'd be a rich person. Your inheritance, Christian, is kept. That means it's secure. It's not going anywhere. It's being held in heaven by the holy, almighty God of creation. Don't miss this word. Again, it's not a wish, and it's not even a hope. Okay, your living hope, that's for here. Your inheritance is kept. It's secure. It's locked up by our Lord. You say, well, where does He keep stuff like that? It's kept in heaven. Reason why we have so much joy and why we can't be stopped. It's not just the living hope here. It's that we have a home and an inheritance in heaven that is kept there for us. You say, what do you mean for us? It says right here, it's kept in heaven for you. This is personal. This is not a group plan. This is not like, hey, sometime all those folks. No, no, this is you. God's speaking personally to you. If you're a Christian, this is your promise. This is the power of God. You will see. Verse 5. You who by God's power, these promises, they're guarantees. Because it's not Jeff making a promise. It's not the bridge making a promise. It's not Baptist making a promise. This is the promise of Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth. He says that your inheritance is kept in heaven for you personally, and it's done through the power of God. Again, I say to you, just think about that. The power of God. And how is this power of God applied? He says it's being applied to you who are being guarded. Well, let me tell you, this little phrase right here, this is where I was blessed this week, specifically for slowing down. I'd never seen that before. Oh, I'd read it hundreds of times. But this week, the Lord locked up my heart and said, I want you to just sit and soak here, Jeff. I want you to understand, and I want you to help others to understand what it means as a Christian to be guarded by the power of God. Think about that. Why bother? In large part because you are so blessed that you, not your inheritance, mind you, your inheritance is kept. It doesn't need to be guarded. Your inheritance is kept. What's guarded is you. You, Christian. You are guarded by the power of God. You say, well, how's that work? Through faith. Next two words. Not by works so that no one will boast. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. You're guarded by grace through faith. Not of works. This is again the gift of God. I want you to see how all of this comes together. And again, I take you back about 5 years where I prayed that an illustration would help you to grab a hold of this and to share this. So I'm going to show you something that many of you have seen already. And let me just warn you, if you say, oh yeah, I've seen that, I know that. Don't tune out of the video because you've seen it before. Because if you can't teach this on your own without the video, You need to pay close attention to it. And I pray, be washed over by this truth and love, that your inheritance is kept in heaven and you are guarded. You are guarded by the power of God through faith. Let that bless you. And I pray, take this to heart. I want to leave you with an illustration that I pray brings all of this together. The question is personal. The sacrificial atonement system, listen, you have an opportunity to have all your sins forever taken away. Jesus paid the price and made the invitation. The question now is, what are you going to do with Jesus? For many of us, this is us. You're stuck in the world. It's dark, it's gloomy, and it's got you. By default, we all start here. And there's nothing you and I can do to change that. It's Christ who comes and gets us, and then we respond. But it's worse than just being in the world. You see, you and I, inside that world, we live in sin. We live in sin. It has surrounded us. That's why you and I can't do anything about it. We live in the world in sin. We'll find there's some cotton candy here that'll make us feel good. You'll hear people tell you whatever you want to hear. Paul warned Timothy, beware of those. They'll tell you what your itching ears want to hear. Drug tests, because we got all kinds of stuff going on here in the world. Hey, check me out. All right. It's all about me here when we talk about sin in the world. Don't worry if it gets you down. We've got some energy here. We'll keep you going. Don't you sweat it. We've got energy in a bottle. You'll be fine. You just keep doing what you're doing. Uh-oh. Pregnancy test. Don't do that. No, it's okay. It's not just about marriage. There's no sense of purity sexually. Those whole sexual sins, they're old-fashioned. You can do whatever you want. We'll make adjustments. In fact, every once in a while, we'll just spray a little air freshener. Nobody will even know what's going on. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. In fact, we've even got some Bibles around here. We can cleanse it with Scripture. Don't you worry. No. Hey, no, God's Word says, hey, don't you judge lest you be judged. Oh, what about this John 7:24, that I'm commanded to judge righteously? Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Let me give you my hand-picked Bible verses. There's plenty of Bibles in the world. Plenty of Bibles in sin. Satan visits most churches every Sunday. So what do you do? Well, let's take a look at us. This is us. We're in sin in the world. We got sin in us too. Can you see that? There's dark sin in us. We're in the world in sin, and we actually have sin in us. You want to know why we sin? Because we're sinners. We're inherently sinners. That's why we sin. We're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we are sinners. It's in us. This is where you and I start from. And the outside is nasty. We got sin all over us. Oh, there's some clean spots. But what if you wanted to get it out? What if you wanted to change all this? Is there any way that this can all be made to go away? Is there any way that I can go from what I was to what I want to be in Christ? And the answer is yes. Let me show you. Because if you end up here, it's eternal damnation. If you end up living and dying in the world in sin, and when you come to judgment, you're still inherently in you. See, you might change your behaviors. Well, I go to this 12-step program now. I'm no longer in the world and in sin, or so I think. But you can't change this. No matter what you do with your behaviors, you can't change this. Well, how does this change? Watch this, and I'll show you.
We can't live the Christian life, a supernatural life, in the natural. We simply don't have the strength. The only way to live that life is to let Christ live his life through us. Now, I'd like to try to illustrate that. I have here with me a glove. Okay, it's a work glove. It's well made. It's got leather and Velcro. It's tightly stitched together. This glove is designed for work. It's made to lift and carry, so it ought to be able to do some work. So I say to that glove, "Glove, pick up that Bible." It doesn't do anything. Well, maybe what that glove needs is some encouragement, some inspiration. "Come on, glove, you can do it. You were made to pick up that book." Well, there's nothing. Maybe the glove needs some training, needs to be discipled. So I'm going to do some one-on-one here and say, "Come on, you know, you put your thumb and fingers together and there's still nothing." Maybe what the glove needs is some fellowship. You know, get some other gloves hanging around them. And maybe you get the hang of it. We'll make it a multicultural fellowship here and just, there's still nothing. You know what I think? I think this glove needs to make a commitment. It needs to rededicate itself to being a glove. Raise a hand and come forward and get baptized or something. Now you get the point. It's painfully obvious at this point. Even though that glove was designed for work, it can't do work until a living hand fills every part of it and does its work through the glove. And that's how the Christian life works. We are not able to live the supernatural life of God in our own strength. Now, we have the capacity for it. We were made for it. But we don't have the power for it because of our fallen human condition. The only way to live that life is to let Christ live his life through us. And he does that through his Holy Spirit.
You see, friends, you and I, we can change our behavior, but we can't change our core. God does it. You want to change? Come to the sacrificial atonement system and accept what Jesus did. And instead of being filled with sin, Colossians 1 tells us that the very Spirit of God will come. Jesus in you. If this is you, then this is God's Spirit. This is Jesus in you. Now, Colossians 1 makes that promise. Do you see the difference? At your core, Christian, you now have the light of the Spirit. Look at you. What do you see inside? "Oh, I'm not worthy." You were never worthy. But the Spirit of God in you has now changed you. At your core, you have been supernaturally transformed. But that's not it. No. Let's go and read what the Scriptures tell us. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and watch what happens, because now you're a new creation. You are in Christ. Now you've got Christ in you. And again, Colossians says you're sealed. Do you see you in there? How's it looking? A little different? You think this sacrificial atonement system might be worth understanding? You think maybe the God who spoke creation into being, who then died that you could live, who proved he is God, who demonstrated a love for you and me that blows our mind. He says, "Hey, listen, you remember how you were over here in the world and stuck in sin and sin in you? Come to the cross. Come surrender to victory in Jesus the Christ, and I'll live in you, and then I'll have you live in me." But that's not it yet. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3, and let's see where we're told that when we are in Christ, with Christ, we are going to be in God the Father. And they are sealed. I ask you, is it still about a holiday with ham for lunch? Is it still just about a bloodbath? Or do you see clearly the sacrificial atonement system is to display the glory of God, to share the love of our Lord, and to save sinners and turn them into secure saints? I don't know what you're up against, but let me tell you, nothing gets inside there. Nothing gets inside there to change it. You and I, we're fallen, so we're going to continue to sin and we're going to continue to struggle. This is not perfection on this side of eternity, but let me tell you, this is the path to eternity, and it is perfect, and it is powerful. You want to know why we study Leviticus? So we can study our Lord. You want to know why we study our Lord? So we can love him better, we can worship him better, we can understand what's really going on. I think of Jesus teaching the parable that we know of as the hidden treasure. Talks about a guy who's going through life. He's got it going on, and he comes into this field that doesn't look like very much, probably like a church in an industrial park or a church in a movie theater. Doesn't look like a whole lot. But when he's in this field that nobody thinks is worth a whole lot, he bumps into and discovers this treasure that Jesus says is worth more than anything else he has or would ever have or acquire. The man is so moved by the treasure that he goes back into town and he liquidates. I mean, he liquidates. He sells everything. And people say, why? He's come and go by that field. They say, you're an idiot. What? Here's language I heard. You got nothing now that you're walking with the Lord. You got nothing. You used to have a big pile of chips to play at the table. You got nothing now. I said, I changed my chips. This man says, I'm selling everything I've got and I'm going to go buy that field because I know there's treasure there. And that treasure is worth everything I have. Friends, that treasure is Jesus. You bumped into him today. I know it because I told you. You heard the gospel truth. You got your apartment or your house or your 50 acres. Or you can come on over to the field. Surrender all you have. And by grace, be captured by the truth of the gospel. Trade. Trade that dark and lonely world at Dead End Street. Come home to glory. I wonder if maybe God made himself clear to you today. I wonder if today he may have led you to a place of contemplation. I want you to know the only place you're ever going to come to celebration is right here. So let me ask you, how special is it to you that you have an inheritance? You weren't just caused by God to be born again. You don't just get to have living hope. You don't just get to have an inheritance kept in heaven. But catch the last clause. You are guarded by the power of God. Here's the last part of the verse. The expectation. You, Christian, are being guarded through the power and by the power of God through your faith for a salvation. For salvation. You get to have eternal life with Christ, which is caused by God through the cross and resurrection of Jesus the Christ. And it's brought to you and me this living hope, this eternal, perfect inheritance. And in between here and there, you get to be guarded by the power of God for a salvation that is ready. Ready. Think about that. Ready. Ready to be revealed in the last time, last days. Listen, friends, many of us, perhaps most of us, our last days are going to come and we're going to go meet Jesus before his last days are announced and he comes down to shut this bad boy down. Have you thought about your last times, your last days? A couple of weeks ago on the New Jersey Turnpike, I was reminded that any time could be our last time. I want you to think about that. I'm not trying to scare you, but I am hoping to wake you up. That if you're a Christian, truly a Christian, you have an inheritance that is ready to be revealed. Your inheritance is your salvation. You get to have eternal life with Christ, and it's ready to be revealed. His promise is ready for you. Are your promises ready for him? Are you actively living as the church? Are you a school teacher who's a Christian? Oh, yes, I go to church. Or are you a Christian whose purpose is to be fulfilled through your school teaching? Do you see the difference? They're night and day, if not eternal. Why bother? Why, Pastor Jeff, if God is sovereign and if he's got everything all figured out and all these things are true, why bother? Because you love him and you want to bring him glory. You want to be the blessing. And if you don't, I pray today you realize something is woefully wrong. If this want to is not deep in your core, let this be the wake-up call. If you don't have the want to, let the wake-up call come to you, I pray. And if you have the want to, let your walk, your work, your worship, your warfare, your witness declare it. Because lips lie. Lives tell the truth. Let me close our time together today with an encouragement, I pray. Again, I'm speaking to the church the same way Peter was. And I realize, just like Peter did, that just because I'm talking to the church doesn't mean that everybody that hears me is the church. So let me show you the encouraging truth. And if you're not yet in this place of being the family of God, let this encouragement be what God uses to draw you. I want to show you a graphic. I read an article this week that spoke about the unpacking of Romans 8. Verses 28 through 30, where many of you will be familiar, that we have promises given by God, that God works all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purposes. And it goes on to say it's to bring us into a greater Christ-likeness, that we'll be conformed into Christ-likeness. And then there's this incredible promise. The author of the letter says, this is what made me a reformed believer. Because you see here in the promise that God's word says that those that he predestines, he calls. Those he calls, he justifies. Those he justifies, he'll glorify. And what you see is there's no wiggle room. You can't break the promises of God. Well, let me show you the graphic as I've created it. I've expanded it quite a bit. Here you'll see the Christian's blessing chain. 10 links of what you get to be and have and represent. See this, Christian. If you're a Christian, you've received God's grace. You've received the kind of grace that should blow you away. Absolutely blow you away. Even lost people who don't yet know Christ as Lord have received more common grace than they can even come to grips with. But as a believer, you've received saving grace, miraculous grace, eternity transforming grace. And it comes with God's love. For God so loved the world that he gave for crucifixion his only son, that whosoever would believe in him would no longer perish, but would have everlasting life. We've received a mind-blowing love. Again, mercy. Look at the mercy. Think about your life. What have you been forgiven of? What has God allowed you off the hook from? Great mercy. And you've also been foreknown by God. That doesn't just mean that he knew you were on the roster. That means he loved you before time began. It's a uniqueness. He not only knew you, he tells Jeremiah, I knew you in your mother's womb. Tells us you were all fearfully and wonderfully made. If you're a believer, you're a part of his family and always have been. Also seen here in the fifth link, you're chosen. You've been predestined. You're in the elect. It's all the grace of God on display. Why bother? Because you've received this amazing grace, eternal love, miraculous mercy. You were foreknown and chosen by God beforehand. But all of that is before. We haven't even got into the actual part that you've experienced. If you're a Christian, you've been called. That means you've been drawn by God. John 6:44. Live like those that have been drawn. And if you've been drawn, that means you've been justified. Now think about that. Justified, that's loaded. That means that you've been forgiven. That means that you've been redeemed. That means that all of who you were and what you did has been now declared to be clean, righteous, innocent. You have the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21. This is yours, Christian. Why bother? Why be a blessing? Why live actively manning the lifeboats? Because you've been pulled into the lifeboat. And you haven't just been justified, you've been sanctified. You're being sanctified. The living God, as he's working in you, he's working on you. He didn't just set you apart for salvation. He's scrubbing you and me clean, Christian, to be more and more like Christ. We get to know the joy and the blessing of living in faithful obedience all through his work. And see again here, to me it's profound. You get to be guarded. Between your justification and your glorification, in the midst of your sanctification, where to be honest, we stumble, we struggle. In your stumbling and struggling, you're guarded. You're guarded. Every minute of every day, it'll take Acts 1:8, you'll receive power when my Holy Spirit comes on you to be my witness. Guarded gives me a fresh perspective there. Matthew 28:20, Jesus, and I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. Gives you a fresh perspective, doesn't it? You're being guarded by the indwelling God of creation. He's not just in you, he's guarding you, Christian. And he's guarding you all the way to what will ultimately be your glorification. You get to be a child of God. You get to have eternal life. Why bother? Why bother being the active blessing of Almighty God? Why bother loving God and loving people and serving the world? Why bother living on purpose? Why bother being willing to lay down everything else? Why bother picking up my cross every day and following Christ? Because it's not a bother, it's a blessing, unlike anything else anyone or anything in the world can ever offer you or experience. There is nothing, nothing like, nothing can even come close to comparing to the blessing that it is to be a biblical Christian. Oh, I pray that you either know that or you want to know that in a way that will lead you to confess and repent and put yourself down on your face before the living God, that he will lift you up and insurge you with life eternal. I'm going to ask you, if you would, to take these thoughts, God's words, not mine. God's words, not mine. Take them to heart as I pray with you and then leave you with three opportunities to focus on this amazing grace and calling out to Christ that we've been called and commissioned to do, and then to live out this blessing of praise and worship locally, regionally, and globally. And then as a homework assignment, go to the notes from this sermon. You will see that I have broken down from verses 1 through 5. There are at least 50 opportunities to see the blessing. For example, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Peter, he's no longer Simon. That's a gift from God. He's an apostle. He's a privileged sent one. That's a gift from God. And he's blood bought by Jesus the Christ. That's a blessing. If you'll walk through, I've got you started, you'll find at least 50 opportunities to say, wow, thank you, Lord. Why bother? Because it's not a bother, it's my blessing. Oh, Lord, I pray that each one within the sound of my voice will have heard you today, will have been touched and cleansed, transformed, I pray, by your word, your spirit, and in the context of your Acts 1:8 family. Lord, I thank you that this message, it'll preach in North America, South America, Asia, Africa, Your word is timeless. If we will do the work to help people to hear you and understand you, and I pray, heed you. No dog and pony show here, just your word, your will, and your ways. And then we get to watch you in full display. Oh, what a blessed people we are. Thank you for saving our souls. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amazing Grace.
How sweet the sound.
That saved.
An alcoholic.
Failure.
Agnostic.
Partier.
Liar.
Drug addict.
A wretch.
Like me.
I once was
broken.
Resentful.
Helpless.
Depressed.
Out of control.
Abandoned.
Selfish.
Self-destructive.
Angry.
Confused.
Just lost.
But now,
I'm sober.
Happy.
Peaceful.
Grateful.
Free.
Alive.
Forgiven.
I'm found.
I was blind.
To God.
To faith.
To love.
Pero ahora, yo veo.
I see that I matter.
I see past my problems.
I see my Savior.
I see grace.
Amazing grace.
'Twas grace that taught my heart to fly, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that
to the words of this. wave your hand from side to side and in. Somebody lift your hands and close your eyes right now. Shh. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, Jesus.
Can we call Jesus? Y'all don't mind, do
we? Oh, oh, Jesus.
I wish I could get a witness, hey. Somebody that really loved the Lord. Know the Lord woke you up this morning. Know he put food on your table. Know he put bread. He'll be bread in a starving land, a rock in a weary land. When you get lonely, will you get lonely? Let me say, don't leave it. Let me hear y'all say it. Somebody.
Don't leave me alone.
Let me talk to you for 1 minute. You see, some might need your husband. When you get lonely, you cry on your shoulder. Some might need your children just to make you smile and give you joy sometime. But if you ever call on Jesus, and if you mean it from your heart, when he sent down his power, I'm about through here. I gotta go. I gotta go. I know y'all tired of this. Let's get real sweet. Stand up on your feet, everybody. And all over this place, give God a hand praise tonight. One more time, sing it loud. We're going home. Hey, don't leave me.
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 Oh, no.
Oh,
heilig, heilig ist der Herr Gott allmächtig, der war und ist und der da kommt.
Seguro. Se for...